We're going to start with politics this morning because I have one of the candidates who is looking for your vote on the 24th of October to become the next president of Ireland, and that is Heather Humphreys, supported, of course, by Fine Gael. Heather, good morning to you and thanks for coming in to us.
Good morning, Gerry, and thank you for having me on the show this morning. It's great to be in the studio because I've been on your radio programme many times before, so it's lovely to be here. And if your listeners have any tips for the races later on, I'd be happy
to
hear them.
They'll be all
text
welcome.
Text them in.
You're heading to Listowel. You're going a couple of places in Kerry today. You're on the campaign trail. How has it been, can I ask you, first of all, when you decided to run for president, how has that campaign trail been? You've run campaigns before, of course, so you're experienced. But this time, it's all about you, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Well, the campaign's going well. I've been out and about. I've been meeting people. I've been chatting to them. And the Irish electorate are very well informed because they know that the presidential campaign is different. It's about the person and it's not about policies. So I've been chatting to people and I'm getting on very well and having that conversation. And it gives me a chance to outline to them what my vision is for the presidency.
What is that vision?
Well, my vision is to be a president that unifies, that speaks for people, and I'm going to put a strong focus on community. And community is something that is very close to my heart, and it's so important that we recognise those volunteers. I've seen them across the country. They are the people who hold our community together, you see them in the GAA, you see them in the tidy towns, the men sheds, the women sheds, the youth clubs. They're all out working in their development associations. They're doing so much for this country. And as president, I want to recognise them. I want to, encourage them to keep going. We should never, ever take them for granted. And I want to support them in every way that I can. So that's, and I think it's important that we do that. The second thing is unity. You know, we live in a divisive world and we can see that there are many divisions across society. And as a president, I feel I can be a unifying voice. I can bring people together, have those conversations and perhaps break down those barriers, those preconceived notions, those prejudices. Mm. And you can have those conversations in the safe place of the Oras, as Mary McAleese has done on many occasions before. She built a lot of bridges in terms of reaching out the hand of friendship to people in Northern Ireland.
Do you think we're becoming less community focused in Ireland? Are we losing our communities and as a consequence becoming more divided, tribal even in our politics?
Well, I think that it's important that we have those conversations because that's the last thing we want. We want communities that are working together because it's for the benefit of everybody. But sometimes there creeps in these prejudices and they're very dangerous. And we need to have the conversations and understand where other people are coming from. Because at the end of the day, most people just want to live their lives, raise their families have a reasonable standard of living, and that's what people want. They want to be able to be happy and feel part of their community. They want to be active citizens, and for some it's not as easy. They don't want to step up participate. So that's why we have all of the volunteers that are there that are encouraging people to get involved, and the Tidy Towns is the best example you'll ever think of, because they bring people, young, old, it doesn't matter, come and join your Tidy Towns association, and it means you get involved in your community. It's a great way of integrating people, and there's so many different things happening out there, and as president I feel that I can highlight that. And I know when I was the Minister for Rural and Community Development, I travelled the length and breadth of this country, went to many, many different communities, and I saw firsthand exactly what's happening. But as president it brings it to a new level.
Yeah.
And when the president visits a community, they see the community themselves, they're so proud, and they'll talk about that visit for many, many months, if not years afterwards, the day the president visited. And it encourages them to keep going, and it encourages others to get involved.
Do you think that can be done though? And you don't set the salary, but it's €330,000 a year at a time when people are struggling to pay their utility bills, at a time when fingers are being pointed in some quarters at the idea of another level. the elitist level running the country, that you're part, you'll be part of that machinery in some people's eyes. Can you connect with people while drawing down a salary like that?
Well, I can connect with people because I come from a working farm and I worked as a credit union manager and that has gave me a huge insight into the challenges that people face. I was a cabinet minister for 10 years. I worked as the Minister for Arts, Heritage and the Gaeltacht during the 2016 commemorations when I brought
there's
people
no
together.
Doubt you understand people. You've been through those levels, particularly with the credit union. You would have seen all sides of Irish life and the struggles people. But I'm saying, if you are successful, you will be on that salary.
Yeah.
Is that not a barrier to connect with people?
Well, what I will do is I will do the same as President Michael D. Higgins is doing. I will give back my ministerial pension, and that I'm committed to doing that. Mm. But it's important that. I speak for people. I want to be a unifying voice, but it's also important that I listen to them and I need to hear their concerns and I can speak for them, and I will never be afraid to speak up for people and to highlight injustices where I see injustices, and that's something that I'm committed to doing, to representing the people of this nation. The role is above politics and I will be a voice for them.
Okay. Will you be able to speak out when you feel the need to speak out? There's a kind of an undefined line there. Some candidates, even some of your opponents in this race, are saying some very strong things on the international. They're saying they're not afraid to say them. What do you believe is your role in that area when you become president?
Well, the important role of the president is to respect and protect the Constitution. That is the first role of the president, and I will do that. But that doesn't stop me from speaking out. And where, as I said, where I see injustices, where I see things that are wrong, I'm not afraid to speak out. And in fairness to President Michael D. Higgins, he wasn't afraid to speak out either. Mm. And he was able to speak on many different issues, and he was right to do so. So I will certainly be taking a leaf out of his book. And I'm committed to if where I see something is wrong, I will certainly speak for the people.
Okay. Will you take risks when you're president, particularly with Northern Ireland? If there has to be a hand that's reached out or a controversial thing that's done to try and move things along? Because at the moment, some sections of society, both here and in the North, are completely diametrically opposed to one another. The flag and the Union Jack, they're burning tricolours in some parts of Northern Ireland to this day.
Well, I think
can you reach out to those people?
I think I'm very well placed. I was born 6 miles from the border with Northern Ireland, and I do understand the complexities of the North, and it's something that I want to do. And I think we need to deepen an understanding of the different traditions in Northern Ireland. And I will work with nationalists and I will work with unionists to bring them together, to build those bridges, to create a deeper understanding, and most importantly, to build trust.
Yeah.
We need to build more trust. And
were you surprised by the Orange Order story when it came up? Just along those lines, the reaction, the idea that that might be controversial at a time when a lot of people are saying we need to reach out and connect.
Yeah, well, I think
with that tradition,
I think what that it highlighted once again that there are a lot of misunderstanding. There's a lot of misunderstanding out there, and it's how we deepen that understanding. And as I said, we need to build trust, and I will work night and day to bring people together, because at the end of the day, we want to see a united Ireland. We want to see people working together, and we want to see it for the benefit of everybody. And I'm committed to a united Ireland based on the Good Friday Agreement, and I will work day and night to try and make that happen, because I honestly believe that it will be for the benefit of everybody in this country if we can come together. It'll create a new energy. It'll release a new excitement when that happens.
Do you think that the president will have an important role to play in that? Even if symbolically?
No, I think the president can have those conversations, those private conversations in the Oras with people, because it's not under the glare of a camera or in front of a microphone that we achieve these results. And when I think back, I think of what Mo Molam and what Bertie Ahern did. They sat in the rooms, they talked to the people, and they had those conversations, and we eventually got peace in Northern Ireland.
They took the abuse sometimes?
Yeah, well, sometimes you do take abuse, but they did. They achieved it. They achieved it. And I look to what Mary McAleese has done, and I will follow in her steps. She was a proud Ulster woman. I'm a proud Ulster woman, and I want to see a lasting peace and lasting unity in this country.
Okay. Can I ask you about the week that's gone by? There's three people on the ballot paper. There could have been four. There could have been five. Mm-hmm. But the people who tried to go through the council route failed. Maria Steen came two votes short of getting a nomination to contest alongside yourself, Jim Gavin, and Catherine Connolly. Was she blocked? Is this all anti-democratic?
No.
The establishment stepping in saying she doesn't fit the mould, we want safe candidates, so we'll make sure she doesn't get on the ticket.
Well, first of all, there's a process here. I came through that process. You have to get four local authorities or 20 Oireachtas members, and that's what's set out in the Constitution. To change that, there would have to be a referendum, and that would be up to the government to do that if they feel that that's what should be done. I'm happy that I have come through the system, and I'm looking forward to getting my message out to the people of Ireland and getting to as many places as I can.
But your party imposed a whip on all its councillors across the country. Nobody else.
Yeah, that was a decision for the party. And I think it's important to say that if I'm elected as president, I will be a president for everybody, not just for any, I'm not a Fine Gael president, or I'm a president for everybody. The party made that decision. Fine Gael nominated me, and they're supporting me, as are independents supporting me as well, and I'm very grateful for all the people who have expressed their support for me. So the process is the process, and
would you be worried though that there's a cohort of people out there who believe what Maria Steen believed, are across the range of socialists in particular? They feel now they don't have a choice. There's people online, and look, online is online, but at the same time there are people saying, look, I'm not going to vote, I'm going to spoil my vote, this is a rigged race.
No.
Your response to those people this morning?
No, it's not a rigged race. This is a very democratic process. I got the nomination by more than 20 Oireachtas members signed my nomination papers, so I was I came through the process. That was very clear, and anybody that wants to run for the presidency realises they must get four local authorities or 20 Oireachtas members. That is the process. The decision is made now, so we'll just move on, and I hope that those people that were planning to vote for Maria Steen or whoever else will look at me and see me as a candidate that they can support.
You don't feel that their narrative, that basically conservative values have no place within the establishment in Ireland, that it's being shoved to the side because it's not convenient, or that you were afraid somehow of the challenge she would pose on the campaign trail?
Oh, absolutely not afraid. I've never been afraid of anybody on a campaign trail. I've been on a ballot paper with 10 or 11 or 12 candidates. I've never been afraid. And I want to tell my message, what I want to do. I want to unify this people. I want to be a voice for the Irish people. I want to represent Ireland with dignity on the world stage. I want to lead trade missions to various countries. I've done that before when I was Minister for Business. I went to many countries trying to secure markets for Irish Indigenous companies. I got investment into this country working with the IDA. So there's a lot of things that I can do as president, and I also will first and foremost respect, as I said, and protect our constitution.
Okay, and that's the role you feel that will happen. You feel those people will have a voice in this campaign, and would you encourage them to vote?
I would encourage them to vote, and I will be a voice for everybody.
Okay.
And I will listen to people, I will hear them, and I will speak for them, and I will never be afraid to speak up for them.
Okay, questions came up on the campaign trail as well. You're obviously trying to get your name and your face out there, and you've been on many posters across the country. There's an issue there though. People are saying, look, posters have had their time. There's the environmental argument. Tralee was a poster-free zone in last year's elections. Other parts of the country have poster bans, but there's going to be posters everywhere. What's your view on that? The importance of them, or the need to be environmentally conscious?
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is the long burning question of posters or no posters. And I think when I first got elected in 2004 to Monaghan County Council, the question was going around
was then,
what will we do about the posters? Look, there's different views on it. The posters do bring a certain, it brings a certain excitement to a campaign, and people see the posters and all of those things.
If for some people, it makes them aware there is an election going on.
Exactly. Some mightn't even realise to see the posters, and it's all part of the of a campaign process. And I think posters go up as long as they're taken down properly, and that the environment, you don't have posters lying in behind hedges. That's wrong. And there are very strict rules. And in fairness to the county council, they're very good at contacting people who haven't taken their posters down. So I think posters are part of it. And for people that that, you know, they'll see when they look at the posters who is on the ballot paper, and it gives them a chance to think about it.
Okay, a final question for you. Do we need a presidency, really, in this day and age? With the salary, all of the costs, the ORIS, some people count this programme saying we don't need one. The Minister of Foreign Affairs can meet people, the Taoiseach can meet people and do those jobs as part of their wider role. What's your response to that argument?
Well, I have to say, we're a proud nation. I love this country. This country has made me everything that I am and everything that I have. And we should be proud of our president. Our president has represented us so well since the first president, Douglas Hyde. They play a very important role. And when you look at what Mary Robinson did, what Mary McAleese did, and what President Michael D. Higgins has done over their terms, I think they have represented us well. And as I said, they have had so many state visits into this country, and they have improved relations with many different countries. So it's an important role, and we are, as I said, a proud nation, and I feel that it's in our constitution and we should be proud of our president.
Do you think that role of assessing legislation is an important one that people don't pay enough attention to, perhaps, maybe?
Yeah, well, the role of the president is also to sign legislation.
Refer it to the Council of State.
Yeah, refer it. What happens is the president gets the legislation after it has passed through all the houses of the Oireachtas. The president will read that legislation, and the one duty the president has to do is make sure that it is within the constitution. If there's any doubt about the legislation, that it doesn't comply with the constitution, the president can call in the Council of State. There are many learned people on that, and get their advice. If after that the president is still not happy and she feels that there's an issue here, she can refer it to the Supreme Court to test its constitutionality. And that doesn't happen very often, because if it goes to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court finds that legislation is constitutional, nobody can
legally challenge it. Yeah.
So that's not a power that the president would use lightly. So it's the job of the president to sign the legislation, because the legislation, and I know this from being in the Oireachtas, it goes through a long process before it actually gets to the president.
Yeah. Is it more important now than ever, when we're seeing those sort of rules and structures and divisions of powers being broken and breached in other countries?
Oh, absolutely.
That the rule of law internationally plus within countries is breaking down?
It is, and that's the job of the president, is to protect our constitution. That is an extremely important role that our president has, and that's something that I would uphold absolutely.
Okay, final point. You're heading to the Listowel races. I know you're going to Muckross House as well and a few other places, so you're looking forward to your day in Kerry?
I'm absolutely looking forward to it. I've been here before, and I remember having a great time when I was down at the opening of Killarney House, a beautiful, beautiful facility, wonderful gardens. And of course, one of the highlights of my trips to Kerry was when we had Star Wars, and that was out in Skellig-Michael. So I'm looking forward to meeting loads of people here in Killarney this morning, and then heading off to Listowel.
Okay, all right. Heather Humphreys, thanks very much for taking time to come into us, and good luck with the rest of the campaign.
Thank you very much, Gerry, and thank you for having me on your show.
Okay, that's Heather Humphreys, candidate for the presidential election. If you have a view on what she had to say, get in touch with us in the programme. On the way, we've got a call from the Dáil. Then we'll be hearing from Jim Gavin, who's also here in Kerry this morning, to hear his views on why he wants to be president. Keep your comments, views and opinions coming into us. We've more on the way after we take these.